Hi, everyone, and welcome to Mainly Middle, a mammal podcast. So today we have the pleasure of speaking with Tammy Ranger. Tammy Ranger has an amazing wealth of experience. She's currently the Educator Excellence Coordinator at the Maine Department of Education. Prior to that, she was the Maine Teacher of the Year in 2017. She's a former reading interventionist at the middle level at Skowhegan Middle School with over 20 years of middle level teaching experience. And I could go on and on about Tammy's amazing career so far in education. She's been a veteran teacher for many, many years. And I've had the pleasure to talk to her. She's super down to earth, super humble, and just a wonderful human being. So welcome, Tammy. I'm so excited for you to be here.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for having me. What a nice introduction. And I would echo the sentiments right back at you. It's an honor to know you. And you likewise are also very humble.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. So let's start with, I mean, you and I are both former middle school teachers. You, of course, are a veteran middle school teacher. Why is teaching at the middle level so fulfilling?
Well, I think that, you know, the first thing I would say is, you know what, middle school kids, they are just so much fun. When I was doing my student teaching, I thought for sure, you know, I wanted to teach kindergarten or first or second grade. And I had a placement in second grade for 6 or 8 weeks. And I loved it. And I thought, yeah, I knew I was right. And my second placement was in sixth grade. And I went to the sixth grade placement and spent about 7 or 8 weeks there and absolutely fell in love with middle school kids and never looked back. You know, it's just a time, you know, where they're growing and they have more agency and more autonomy. You know, their brains are changing. They can think a little more complexly and, you know, they're discovering things. And I just found, you know, you could have great conversations with them. They have a strong sense of justice and great sense of humor. I can't imagine teaching at everybody has to find their niche, right?
For me,
I couldn't imagine teaching at a different level.
That's so funny because I had the exact same experience, but on the flip side, I was like, I'm going to teach AP Lit and Lang, like no questions asked. And I fell in love with the sixth graders I was with. And that's where I stayed for quite some time, and eighth graders as well. So that's fantastic. Yeah, you're right. Every teacher finds their niche.
And I would also say, you know, middle school kids, a lot of them, when I was teaching a fifth and sixth grade multi-age class, you know, they were eager to learn, they were curious. And then it was interesting because when I switched and went to seventh and eighth grade teaching as a reading interventionist, you know, the kids that I was teaching then, that sense of curiosity or the fact that, you know, that they maybe didn't think they enjoyed learning anymore, that was more commonplace. And so in thinking about the teaching profession, you know, it was on the one hand, of course, sad. You want kids to always come into your classroom in the fall ready to learn.
Right.
But also, you know, the idea of, okay, how do I re-engage this student? How can I get them to love learning again, to know that it's fun? Like, you know, when you were little, you wondered how the lights came on. You had these aha moments. How can I reconnect them to that love of learning?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, that happens more often than not in education and public education, but we hear narratives, I think, of bad apples, if you will, of teachers and instructors often in the media, but don't hear those good stories often, right? So maybe you can share with us some of your good stories, or what can we do to highlight these good stories when the media isn't picking them up?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's several things. Well, in fact, too, where I'm working at the Department of Education now, there's a big movement, a really concerted, intentional effort to get these good stories out. And so if you go to the DOE website, you just go to the newsroom, there's a link there that teachers, anybody can click and share a good news story with our communications department. And since that's been implemented, many, many educators have been putting good stories out there. And so, you know, that's something coming from the department. Also, and again, I want to stress safety and permission, but, you know, teachers too can post, you know, if they've done an activity or outreach or something really positive happened in their classroom. We hear so much, and I would agree, I have a love-hate relationship with social media,
but
you can post. And again, I would say, you know, definitely you've got to think of student safety and privacy. But, you know, our current teacher, Heather Whitaker, is a middle school teacher from Gorin Middle School. And she does amazing work with her school garden and using the produce from the garden to give to the, different food programs in the area. And I always see her posting her pictures and her good news stories. And so also when you see something, you can repost it or retweet it. And, you know, those are a few ways to get some of the word out.
Yeah.
And thinking specifically back to when I was teaching, I remember when I was teaching the fifth and sixth grade multi-age class, and this circles back to kids, really middle school kids, having a strong sense of justice and wanting to do good and to make a positive impact. Again, that sense of agency and autonomy. And I had heard my own children were involved in the civil rights team. This would have been at Lawrence High School. And they were invited to go hear a guest speaker named Craig Kielberger. And so I went with them, and Craig Kielberger was the founder of Free the Children, which later became known as Kids Can Free the Children. And it really was an effort to look at child labor and to eliminate child labor in everywhere, but in particular in other countries. And so I came back to school the next day, and we know with any teacher and student, the relationship is so important. And I think in particular with middle school kids. And so one thing we always did was a morning check-in, and like, anybody want to share what they did last night or what's going on? And I always participated in that too. And so I said, you'll never guess what I did. I heard this amazing young man. He's like a teenager. His name is Craig Kielberger. Look at what he's doing. And I shared a little bit of the information, and my students, they were just like, Ms. Ranger, can we start a chapter here in Skowhegan?
Oh, cool.
And they had weekly meetings. They dove into really learning about child labor and what that means and the difference, the education can make in a child's life. And they shared that information with different stakeholders, and they held fundraisers. And Katie, these fifth and sixth graders raised about $4,000, and they built a school in Kenya, Africa.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Right? I have goosebumps. Yeah. That's amazing. I always, those kinds of stories always make me tear up, because it shows what kids can do, right? Like, we always as adults say like, oh, kids can't do that. But when a student is motivated, wow, right?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of a bigger story, when you're thinking about, but also, when I'm thinking about teaching, middle school kids reading intervention, one of the areas that we worked on was fluency. And of course, middle school kids, especially if they're struggling with reading, they don't want to read out loud, but they needed to practice their fluency. And I had a relationship with the nursing home down the street. And so we worked out that the kids would go to the nursing home and they would perform a reader's theater. So that gave the kids a real audience. And
yeah.
Also, they weren't as nervous, because these were older people who were so kind and loving. They would never want to do that in front of their peers. Yeah. But it was a real audience, and it was a very safe audience. And building that relationships, again, the kids just, they didn't just read and leave. We visited, and just seeing the kids really engage in their sensitivity and their compassion and their empathy. And asking the residents, tell me more. Tell me a story about when you were little. And so there's a big story about the school in Africa. And then here's something like that was down the road where kids
right.
make a positive difference.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's always so exciting to see that community engagement, right? That's crucial. So, a lot of great things. Now, right now, though, we're struggling in our profession with the pandemic, right? There's so much uncertainty. There's so much back and forth. Are we going to be online? What's going to happen in the next 4 days?
Exactly.
Change things. Right. So what would you say? And this is advice that might really situate within this frame, like the pandemic frame, but also maybe just generally speaking, when a teacher is struggling, right, we have those moments of like, oh, why am I even doing this? Like, why am I working so hard? What do you say, or what do you do when the profession gets you down?
Yeah, I mean, that's really important, because, teaching is such a rewarding profession, but also you're dealing with human beings, and you're dealing, with world events that are happening that impact these human beings every single day. And you're not dealing with one human being, you're engaging. I like that word better. You're engaging with kids, you're engaging with colleagues, you're engaging with the community. So I'm, when I was thinking about this, for me, I always, the first thing I did was always remember my why. What is, why did I become a teacher? And, you know, and so for me, I just always went back to, I knew firsthand the power of education to impact lives. My grandparents on both sides of my family did not finish, they were very poor. They did not finish school beyond eighth grade. They had to work. And my parents finished high school, did not go to college. And when I finished high school, I was a great student, but there wasn't money for college. I didn't go to college until, you know, I was a single parent of three kids in my 30s. And, you know, then I'm looking at my own kids now who attend to college and, you know, they're, you know, have vibrant careers and, you know, in Massachusetts and New York. And you just look at the, you know, that can be attributed to education. Look at the difference of four generations.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody has their why. And for me, that was, you know, my why. And so I think it's important whether you write it on an index card, I'm a really visual person, and just, you know, go back to that.
Yeah.
Also, having colleagues that you can just relate to and just talk with about the day. And if you want to say vent, you know, just say, this is what happened today. I had wonderful colleagues at the schools that I worked with, you know, that I could talk with and talk through the things with. And I think too, sometimes you feel like you need to be, and I think going back again to the downside, maybe with social media, people start comparing themselves, and every teacher on, you have to have the right contacts. You know, on Twitter, it's a great source of professional contacts and learning, the Twitter, teacher Twitter community. But also, if you're only looking at teachers' best moments, right, it can be very easy to be like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Right.
And so I think, you know, a lot, not being afraid to ask for help, and allowing yourself grace and extending grace to others, that goes a long way. And for me, I always think, you know, I always went back to my professional learning to get me revved up and re-engaged. That included every year the Mammal Conference. I'm a big supporter of the Fall Conference, which I know looks different this year, and understandably so. But, you know, being around people that are learning and forward thinking and remembering the creative part of the job and the impact that you can have. Always engaging in professional development and learning. One of my go-to books is Parker Palmer's The Courage to Teach. I mean, I always had that nearby, and just rereading some of Parker Palmer's work. I mean, you know, there's other books that I would recommend now. You've got Donald Graves' The Energy to Teach. You've got Tom Newkirk's Embarrassment. And that's, you know, I think sometimes it goes back to that idea that there's a perfect teacher and I'm just not good enough. Mm-hmm. Because the subtitle to that book is, so it's called Embarrassment and the Emotional Underlife of Learning. And so the idea of being able to be vulnerable. And so also, you know, I know this is a buzzword, and with, you know, when things get tossed around a lot, it can start to maybe lose some of the impact. But I'm going to come back to it, because self-care is, it's always important, and now more than ever it is important. And you know, when you're reading, and certainly as a parent and as a teacher, and I was working on my master's degree in national board certification, through all that time, I never let self-care go. I always kept up an exercise routine. I always made time to be out for, everybody's going to find what feeds them, right?
Right.
So me, you know, time in nature, yoga, so I always made time for that, because, you know, you can't give from an empty cup. And again, that sounds very cliche, but it's so true. And I always made that a part of what my day.
Yeah. No, that's so important. That self-care. I know that even I've had moments where I'm like, oh, I don't have time for self-care. But you gotta make it part of your routine, right?
Right. I think humor too, just being able to laugh. And you know, there was one thing that, you know, the idea of, I don't know if I think people hear about Monday, oh my God, it's Monday. You're right. And I found myself falling into that. And then I said, Tammy, what are you doing? Let's just reframe this. And so I said, you know, no, it's not, oh my goodness, it's Monday. It's like, this is Monday energy. And Monday energy is different from Wednesday energy. Yeah. It's different from Friday energy. And just saying that, and just being able to say, you know what, this is Monday energy. That's all that is.
Yeah.
So this, you know, some smaller things and some bigger things that you can do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a good, perfect example, right? Just reframing the mindset is a huge, huge way of doing that. So thank you for that. Now we're going to switch gears in terms of what I'm asking you, because I'm going to ask you what should entice someone to consider the teaching profession, particularly at the middle level? What would make someone go, yeah, you know what, I do want to be a teacher. Despite, you know, the challenges, I want to do this rewarding thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in speaking about the, you know, the middle level kids, you know, just being at this age where their brains are changing and, you know, they're experiencing more agency and they can think a little bit deeper about things, you know, that's a chance for you as a teacher to be super creative and, you know, to have a vibrant day every single day. We've talked before about when you're a teacher, every single day is different. And, you know, there aren't a lot of jobs that can say that. And so, you know, and you're going to be learning. And if you're a learner, teaching is a job for you. You're always growing. You're always changing. And, you know, when you think about the bigger, you know, impact, public education, you know, it's this foundation of a strong democracy. And teachers, we know, they're key in building that foundation. So you're a big agent of change as a teacher. The influence that you have, you know, just knowing every day, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to have a positive impact on kids, on my colleagues, on the community and the wider world. I mean, there's an education organization, Educators Rising, and their tagline, I love it because it's short and it's sweet. It just says, there's power in teaching. And I just love that so much.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. There is power. And it's, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, if we want to use, you know, that cliche.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's perfect. So you have such an interesting trajectory in terms of your career. You know, you've been a veteran teacher. You've been a reading interventionist. You were the main teacher of the year, nationally board certified. Now you're working as educator excellence coordinator at the Maine DOE. And that kind of brings in how do we, as instructors who are in the classrooms right now, do we get involved politically and as advocates for education? And like, how do we start? where do we begin? I know myself, I've had trepidation about, oh, well, how do I get political, right? How do I become an advocate without crossing boundaries of some kind, right? We always often talk about like staying out of politics, right, in our classrooms, or staying apolitical. Is that something, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two different, I want to look at this from, you know, two different ways. One is, as a person and as a human being and in democratic society, I think, you know, we all have the responsibility to know the issues, and in particular, the teacher to know the issues impacting education and make sure that you vote. And make sure that you support the candidates that are going to be supporters of public education and the issues that you care about in education. And, you know, something I'm not sure that maybe listeners know of, but Governor Mills signed into proclamation last year that January is Invite Your Legislator to School Month. And so it's really encouraged, and I know it will look different because of COVID, but for teachers to just form a relationship with their educators. And you don't have to be of the same, political mindset. This is an idea, a way of opening communication and giving legislators, you know, a front row seat to see what really does happen in your classroom. I have had legislators come into my classroom and just observe. And so they don't need to be there. I mean, certainly they could engage and read a book, but just forming relationships and communicating is important. So I would encourage people, the Maine State Teachers of the Year Association works on that project, and there'll be information coming out about that. And I imagine they'll tweak it, you know, based on the pandemic. But so be looking for that to come out in January of, you know, there's a whole toolkit of ways educators can engage with policymakers. And that it's in a very safe way too, as far as you don't have to be giving a speech. Also, you know, another thing that you can do is you can submit video testimony. If there's a bill that is being put before the legislature, you can submit testimony. And it used to be that you had to be there in person. You can submit video testimony now. There's different entry points. You know, also on the one hand, of course, vote. But then if you, depending on your comfort level, you can get more involved and you can provide testimony. And that's, you know, different. It's more Maybe some people might find that more intimidating, of course, than just, you know, than going to vote. But sure, it's definitely something that teachers do and are encouraged to do. Lawmakers love to hear from teachers. They want to know what's going on. As far as thinking about the classroom, you know, I think the biggest thing that we can do is, again, it sounds cliche, but, you know, you teach kids not what to think, but how to think, right, and how to be critical consumers of information, you know, vetting information, looking what is the source and what is there any potential benefit that somebody has, the author of this article or who's putting out this information. So that's a pretty powerful way that you can have a role in a different kind of a way about helping kids become aware and become informed citizens, because we want, you know, as they grow up and engage in the world. So I was thinking of something specific that I could share. And, you know, I taught in Skowhegan, and they just voted to change the mascot. But this has been a longstanding issue. And I remember this came, there was a lot of conversation about this in 2015. And I happened to be working on national board recertification. And so for one of my lessons, I just started to I wanted to do a lesson on dialogue and having listening and speaking, addressing those standards. And so I did a unit on the mascot, and I started to ask my students, what did they think? And they had a lot of misinformation, you know, oh, these are all out-of-staters, Miss Ranger. These are all out-of-staters that want to change our mascot. And, you know, I didn't say, well, no, that's not right. I said, let me see if I can, I said, you know, we had, you know, our Maine Indians came and they spoke before the school board. I'm going to see if I can get a video of that, and we can watch it together. And I contacted the television station, and they gave me a video. And I just gave the kids a piece of paper, and I said, and there was nothing on the paper. I said, we're going to watch this video together. And all I want you to do is just take some notes on anything that resonates with you, anything that you think, oh, that's interesting, or, oh, I don't know about that. And, you know, when we finished and the kids, we were sharing what they had written down, the thing that had impacted them the most, that they were most curious about, was we heard over and over again this word dehumanization, and we don't know what that means. Mm. And so, you know, that led to a whole series of lessons about, you know, dehumanization and looking at information. And, you know, I never once told them what to think. We looked at information, and it wasn't like, you know, sometimes you see in TV movies where, boy, by the end of this, you know, all the kids had seen, you know, the truth of the situation.
Right.
You know, we were at the end, and some were still doubtful, and some though were very much of the mindset of, well, you know what, maybe there would be a more appropriate mascot, or maybe, you know. And so I think providing information and teach and showing them how to have dialogue and how to question.
Yeah, no, that's crucial. That's such a great story, you know, an example of how to be involved in a sense in the classroom in a political manner or a social justice manner, but not telling them what to think, right? I think that's what teachers sometimes hesitate, like, oh, if I use this, then I'm going to get pushback from parents or pushback from the students or from whomever. But that's a great example. So really thank you for both of those lenses, not only the teacher, but the student. So that's all I have for you today. I really appreciate your time. You always speak so eloquently to these pieces, and I always enjoy hearing the stories that you tell, and they're always new, so it's so awesome. It's always new to me. So thank you so much, Tammy, for chatting with me today.
Oh, thank you, Katie. I appreciate it, and I love all the work MAML does. It was so a lifeline to me when I was in the classroom, and anything that I can do to keep, you know, supporting this organization, because it is remarkable, and it's just such a support for educators. And of course, that impacts our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the shout out. We've been really working hard to make sure that these are accessible to everyone, to anyone who wants them. So thanks again. And hopefully we'll chat soon.
All right, Katie, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.